Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. As I promised you guys, this week we are going to talk about how to get your kids on board with budgeting. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about how to get your husband on board with budgeting. And after that episode came out, I had a lot of people saying, I would love to hear your take on how to get your kids on board as well. So here we are at y'all's request to talk a little bit about how to get your kids on board with budgeting. So I will, first of all, start by kind of disclosing that obviously I am not a parenting expert, and there might be other people who are more qualified to talk on this topic, but I am going to be giving you what has helped me. And obviously, our kids were really young when we started this journey. So I'm sure that with older kids, it might need to be adapted a little bit. But I want you to take what I'm saying and then adapt it in your own way, okay? So what I'm saying, what I'm about to share, is not gospel parenting truth. It's not the only way. But it is what has helped us, and hopefully at least some of it will help you on your parenting journey as you're kind of moving through this new venture of budgeting and kind of changing the dynamics of your family, because any type of big change is always an adjustment. And of course, the kids feel that no matter what age they are. So when we first started, our middle daughter was almost a year old. So our first daughter, June, was almost four. So we had an almost four-year-old and almost one-year-old. And then Melanie wasn't born until about a year into our journey. Okay, so the younger two really don't know any different. And June was so little, there was a little bit of an adjustment period because this child was so spoiled. The first grandchild on both sides of the family, when up until she was two, I was running an auction house. So you can imagine the amount of things that came through the auction house that if she looked at it, she got it. Okay. So, plus we ran this auction house as a family with my mom and both of my grandparents. And so not only was June around all of this stuff, all of these goodies, all these toys, all this super cool stuff. She was also with her grandmother and both of her great-grandparents pretty much every day, which is obviously a recipe for getting a little bit spoiled. Plus, she was just so used to, as Daniel and I both were, used to eating out and used to fast food, used to donuts for breakfast, McDonald's for lunch, whatever we wanted for dinner, whether that was going to a restaurant or ordering a pizza or driving through Taco Bell. Or you can see by this pattern that we did not eat very healthy back in these days. But anyway, although she was really little, there obviously was a little bit of an adjustment period. So of course, if your kids are quite a bit older, if they're teenagers, or, you know, if maybe your youngest kid is, you know, your youngest kid is already a little bit older, and you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit different depending on their age. Okay, that's my disclosure. So you guys, I talk about this topic in my course, Your Sunny Money Method, my full paid budgeting course, which I can link to in the show notes if you guys aren't familiar with it. And we have a whole lesson in the course about this. And because it is so important, and it is something that a lot of us worry about, especially, you know, as a mother, the mom guilt, the mom fears are real. You know, that mom guilt is so, so real, of like, I'm going to screw up my kids. They're going to have to do without. They're going to resent me. And all of the above, right? So that is why I think that this topic is so, so important. So it's a lot like what we talked about back in episode 31, where we were talking about getting your husband on board. If you haven't listened to that episode, it has gotten amazing, amazing feedback, because again, that is a topic that it has to be talked about. I think your family dynamics are the most important thing. Like at the end of the day, all you have is your family, you know? So I feel like getting along with your spouse and getting along with your kids and helping the journey be a little bit easier for them is so, so important to having a successful financial journey. So if you haven't listened to episode 31 about getting your husband on board, I'll link to it as well in the show notes. You guys definitely check it out. It's a really, really good one, if I do say so myself. So along the same lines as we talked about in that episode, we, as the wife and the mother of the family, we set the tone a lot of the time. And a lot of the time, we are the one who goes first. We are the one who is brave enough to step out and to lead by example. At least that's how it is in my family anyway. You know, usually, like, if we decide we're going to be more frugal, that's me that goes first. If we decide that we're going to start eating a certain way, that's usually me that goes first. We decide we're going to start being on a stricter wake up and bedtime schedule, that's usually me who goes first. Not every single time, but usually I'm the one who sets the tone. I'm the one that leads by example, right? And I think a lot of us wives and mothers can relate to that as well, right? So it's kind of the same thing. Like, we have to be brave enough, strong enough. We have to fill up our own cup first. You know, we have to make sure that we're good, like our heart is in the right place, before we can pour into our spouse and our children, right? And we have to be brave enough to lead by example. And so some of the ways we do that is, I think most importantly, and I feel like this is true with any changing time in your life, is to keep the lines of communication open, right? Talk to your kids, even if they're little. Obviously, make it age appropriate, but talk to them. They are people. They're people too, and this journey is part of their story. So think a little bit about, what is your childhood story with money? What do you remember about money? What do you want to be the same for your kids? And what do you want to be different? What things stick out to you? What things taught you lessons? What things were traumatizing? All of that. You know, remember that our children are little people on their own journey. And it is up to us to write the beginning part of that story of their lives, right? So I think speaking to them like they are people. Obviously, I don't think that we need to put our worries on them or our guilt or any kind of fear, or they don't need to see us necessarily like arguing with our spouse about money or, you know, crying or really freaking out about money. Obviously, there's a filtered view that they need to see to make it age appropriate. But I think we have to speak to them. We have to be honest about what we're doing as much as we possibly can that is appropriate for their age. And the way we do this is, we have to be intentional with our words. We have to keep the tone at abundance and at positivity. Not that we completely sugarcoat it and we put rose-colored glasses over their eyes and they think that there is no struggle in life, because that's just not true. And I feel like they have to ease into learning, you know, life is hard sometimes and life isn't always fair sometimes. And we do have to work hard for our money. But obviously, they need to ease into that, right? Are you guys getting what I'm saying? I hope so. So I try really hard to keep a tone of abundance and keep a tone of positivity. And I do that by watching my language, with especially with things related to money. I do the same thing with body image type things, self-love type things, the way we view food, the way we view exercise. You know, I never am one to look in the mirror and be like, oh, I look so ugly today. Because I don't want that to be their inner voice. Especially, I think, with raising little girls. I don't know how it is raising little boys, because obviously I've never raised a little boy. But I feel like especially raising little girls, I don't want them to have body confidence issues and not love themselves. And so I try to take that and spill it over into money. So I don't want their money language, that voice in the back of their head related to money. I don't want that voice to be negative, just like I don't want their body image voice to be negative, right? I don't want them to have a voice of an unhealthy relationship with food either, okay? So I don't want them to have an unhealthy relationship with money. I don't use the words we're broke or we're poor. We're not poor. We're not broke. Okay. We live in abundance. We're blessed, right? We are hard workers. We're intentional with our money. Find the positive of it. Maybe you are struggling right now, but I think putting a negative spin on it, like we're so broke, and identifying as someone who is broke, identifying as someone who is poor, I just don't think that is healthy. That's not abundance. That's not positivity. The other thing that is a huge pet peeve of mine is saying, we've got to wait till payday. We've got to wait till payday. You guys, you've said it. You've heard it. And one of, I heard a little girl that was a child of a friend say, well, we can't get that. Daddy says we can't get that because we have to wait till payday. And something about that just made me think they're normalizing living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe that's not what they meant by it, you know, but I feel like by using that language, we are normalizing that it's okay to wait till pay. It's okay to live paycheck to paycheck, more or less. Okay. So yeah, we do have a spending budget that needs to wait and some purchases need to wait until the next payday. But I would never use it as, well, as soon as daddy gets his paycheck, you know what I mean? I would say something more of like, well, when the budget starts back over, sure, we can go out to eat. Or you guys, we've already spent our spending money, you know? So when we get more spending money, next budget period, of course we can go and get more art supplies. Or of course we can go out to dinner. But not right now. It's not in the budget. We've, you know, and I've said that so much, and June is getting old enough now where she just turned 8 and she is getting to the point now where she's used to that language. And she even said to me the other day, she asked me if we could go somewhere, I think to go out to lunch or something. I think she wanted to go to like Chick-fil-A with our friends or something. And she said, Mama, do we have enough spending money that maybe we could go to Chick-fil-A today? And I said, no, baby, we don't, but we will next week. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, do you think we could go to Chick-fil-A next week? And I said, yeah, let's see. Let's text our friends and see if they want to go, you know? And it was just kind of this moment of like, wow, she gets it. And it wasn't always that easy, but all of these years into this journey, she understands now just by the way that I've been intentional with my words. Another thing that is a huge pet peeve of mine is talking negatively about rich people or people being rich, you know, and like I've heard so many people say, oh, I hate rich people, or all rich people are whatever. Like all rich people are greedy. Well, you know, if I was rich, I would buy that thing too. I wish I was rich enough to take my kids to the Caribbean. You know, that is destructive. That is not abundance, you guys. That is not abundance at all. For one, that is completely discrediting how hard that person worked. You don't know. You don't know their journey. So don't assume. You know, maybe they're taking their family to the Caribbean because they're debt-free and they worked their butts off for years to get to that point. You wouldn't want to discredit that work. You wouldn't want someone discrediting your journey, right? So don't discredit theirs. And don't hate people for having money, because that is your ultimate goal, right? Is to get to financial independence, to get to financial freedom, to be debt-free. And you don't know their journey, okay? So I just, that is a huge pet peeve of mine. My goal is to be rich. I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, one of my goals is to get to a millionaire net worth status. And I don't plan on being a bad person when I get to that point. So I'm not going to just assume that everyone that is rich is a bad person. Definitely not. No. Another thing is talking negatively about yourself or your own capabilities to earn money. You know, blaming your lack of education, or, you know, blaming your education, or saying, you know, well, I'm too stupid to earn that much money. Or, well, if I would have went to Harvard, I would be making that much money too. You know, it's the same thing. And it's even, I think, worse, because when you're talking negatively about a random rich person, it's a random person. Talking negatively about yourself, you know, that's the same thing as looking in the mirror and saying, oh, I'm so ugly. I hate how I look. For one, that's not healthy with how you love yourself and how you treat yourself. That's definitely not something that you want to get into your child's subconscious and be their subliminal voice about money or about their own worth, about their own capabilities, right? So we've got to speak words of intentionality. We've got to speak words of abundance. And, you know, reminding our kids that we work really hard to buy these nice things. Or one of my things was, my kids are notorious for wasting food, and with all of my best efforts, they still waste food because they're kids. But to try to remind them how hard we work, how intentional we are with our money and all of that kind of stuff, you know, to practice gratitude towards not only the things we have, but also our food, and also, you know, respect for their father and how hard he works and how hard I work with all of the things I do, you know. And we express that gratitude out loud to them, you know. And when the girls get upset because their dad is at work, because, you know, my husband works for 3 weeks offshore and then he's home for 3 weeks, and that 3 weeks can be really long. And you guys probably know, even a regular length work day can be really long to a kid, and they get frustrated and they'll say, Mama, you're always at work, or why is Daddy always at work, or whatever it is. And you have to reassure them that, you know, we work really hard, and this is why we work hard. We work hard to give us a nice, safe place to live, to buy us yummy food. Or remember, we're working a little extra right now because we're going to save up to buy a new car. Or remember, we want to go on that trip, so Mama might be working a little bit extra, okay? And I think just, you know, again, keeping that communication up, showing them that it does take hard work. It does take time to save up to buy things. And that hard work is rewarded, okay? If they just magically get to go to Disney World, if they just show up there, if they didn't watch you save the money, if you weren't expressive about how hard you had to work to get there, and that's not to guilt them. That's not to say, oh, well, I have to work so hard to take y'all to Disney. No, it's like, hey, you guys, we're doing this together. We're working hard. We're saving, you know, and it's just about flipping it into a positive tone, a positive spin on it. Okay. And we don't want our kids to grow up in an instant gratification world. Obviously, we don't want them to have to struggle in some of the ways that we've struggled. And there's always a big debate on whether or not to save up to pay for your kids' college or to make them pay for all of it or to split it 50-50, or there's all kinds of debate about that. And we really want to help our kids go to college. We're not sure if that will be 100%. I would like it to be 100%. We'll see when the time comes. There'll probably be a lot of factors that go into it. Let's just put it that way. That's still like 10 years away for us. So, but we don't want our kids to have to go through some of the struggles that we went through. We don't want them to see us have money fights like we watched our parents have money fights. We don't want them to worry about going to college or having a vehicle or things like that. You know, not to say that everything is going to be handed to them on a silver platter, because of course it won't be. And I think it's like finding that happy balance, you know, and we try really hard to think about everything in the long term with our kids. You know, what kind of adults do we want them to become? And then working backwards from there, right? And that looks different for every family. That looks different for each sibling within a family, right? And, you know, one of the ways we do that is by changing our vocabulary, flipping it into something positive, and, you know, letting them be a part of that. And realizing that one day they will be adults. What do we want their inner voice to be? What do we want their relationship with money to be? And all of that. And I think another one of the biggest things, back to the mom guilt, is we don't want to take things away from them. We are afraid to change up their lifestyle, especially if their friends are doing things that they can't do now, or you know, you're making them kind of be different. That's really hard. And that is a huge part of mom guilt. And I feel like, yeah, it is probably a little bit easier since my kids are homeschooled. So again, you know, I can't speak on what it's like for public school kids, or especially for teenagers in public school, bless their hearts. That's hard. That's really hard. But we have to know as their parent that the ultimate outcome is for the best, and that we are doing what is best for them. And sometimes that means going against the grain. Sometimes that means being weird, being different. Sometimes that means raising them a little quote-unquote old-fashioned. And we're totally on board with our kids being a little old-fashioned. Like, they don't have their own tablets. They might at some point in the future. I don't know. No judging if your kids do. But that's our choosing. We're not afraid to go against that grain because we don't feel like that's what works best for our kids. They don't need all the newest toys, all the newest gadgets. They don't need a million pairs of shoes and all of the latest trendy toys that they're going to forget about next week. They just don't. And we're not afraid to put our foot down and, you know, go against that grain, because we know that ultimately what we're doing is for their best, right? And also, we don't feel the need to entertain our kids all the time. We're okay with them being a little bit bored. We're okay with them playing outside or staying home on the weekends. And when, obviously, we don't have teenagers yet, but we're very on board with our teenagers having jobs. My husband and I both worked. My family owned businesses my entire life. And my mom loves to tell the story about how I was 3 years old and running the drive-thru at our family's donut shop. And people loved it. And I have literally worked my whole life in family businesses. And, you know, when I... when I was 16, I got a job outside of a family business, and I worked through high school and I worked through college, and we are going to do the same thing for our kids. We're not afraid to make our teenagers work. And obviously, again, like, that's going to be different for every single family. You know, maybe your kid is really into their extracurriculars or their sports, or they have, you know, a scholarship that they are trying to work towards, whatever it is. But we're not afraid to make our kids work and make them learn those lessons. You know, we encourage them to work. We encourage them to save their money. When they get money for their birthdays or Christmas, or goodness, sometimes their grandparents will even send them like $5 on Halloween or Valentine's Day, or, you know, some, of course, they'll get like change and stuff in their eggs at Easter and their plastic eggs. And we encourage them to save as much as possible. We encourage them to give money. We encourage them to, you know, buy gifts for their friends sometimes. And we try to help them with being intentional with that money. And we don't pay our kids an allowance, which to each his own on that one. We don't pay our kids an allowance, but we have given June, since she's older, we have given her opportunities to earn money, to make money. So she, if you guys followed me back then, you probably remember me updating the stories of her saving to buy a video camera. And she wanted to start a YouTube channel, and she wanted to buy a video camera. And it was about $100, like $110 or something. And we made her savings goal $100, just because I figured that math would be really easy for her at her age. And I think she was only 6 when she started saving. It might have been right after she turned 7. It was somewhere in there. And she wanted this video camera, and we thought, this is a really great learning opportunity for her. We got her a debt-free chart from debtfreecharts.com, and we helped her save the money. We helped her color in her little lines on her debt-free chart. We gave her extra chores that she could do. Sometimes she chose not to do them. And we were like, hey, if you want to earn some extra money, you can come help me wash the vehicles. Or her aunt would give her opportunities to go and like feed her dogs while she was at work, or take her dog, let her dogs outside to use the bathroom, and little opportunities like that. And she would say, no, I really don't feel like it. Or she would do it, and she would save the money, and that was up to her. We gave her that opportunity. We encouraged her. But, you know, part of it was she's got to learn that lesson on her own. And sometimes they do take their birthday money and they go to Walmart and they blow it all. And that's an opportunity to learn how to budget and learn how to make your spending money last longer. And there's no perfect way to do this, you guys. But my point is encouraging them, showing them the options of what they could do with their money and all of that. And it got to the point with June, with her camera savings, that my family still runs an auction house. Obviously, I don't work there anymore, but they still have an auction house. And I had June call my grandpa, and she said, you know, hey, Papa, I'm trying to save up the money to buy a camera. Do you think that I could make some snacks and come and sell them during the auction? And he said, of course. And so she did that for a few weeks. She spent her own money to buy the ingredients to make brownies, to make Rice Krispie cookies, to make lemonade, and a few other different things. And then she went and she sold them for a few weeks, and she hustled hard to make that $100. And she made it, and then my grandpa called and said, hey, June, you coming to the auction next week? And she said, no, Papa, I got my money for my camera. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to quit. And she quit. She quit going to the auction, but she got her camera, and she worked really, really hard to get that camera. And it was a huge lesson for her. And she even saved her little chart where she colored in the money so she could remember how hard she worked. And that was a really great lesson. But for the money that they do have, you know, the money that they get for their birthdays, they get change randomly all the time, it seems like. Isabel is a change magnet. This child cannot go into public without finding at least one coin somewhere on the ground, and she will look for them. And she's a magnet to money, as she says. And she speaks the truth of finding money. Like, she manifests it, I think. Like, it's amazing. So they take their piggy bank money, they'll stash in their piggy bank, and then every once in a while I'll go and deposit it into their savings accounts. And they each have a savings account with Ally. And I'll link to Ally in the show notes, you guys, if you aren't familiar with them. They are usually, if not the top interest rate, or usually they're in like the top three. They have a really great interest rate. At the time of recording this, they have a 2.2 interest rate, which is amazing for a savings account. So they each have their own savings accounts, and that's where we keep their money, and the rest of it is in a piggy bank. And every once in a while, you know, we'll clean out that piggy bank and deposit it into their savings account. So I think that leading by example is really the best thing you can do. And, you know, which we talked about with the words, but also with the actions. You know, we are showing them contentment. And we talked about this last week. We talked a lot about the contentment issue. We talked a lot about how to use your spending money wisely and kind of how to balance that spending and saving money. And I can link to that episode in the show notes as well if you haven't had a chance to listen to it. Really great episode. And I gave you guys so many examples of frugal things that you could do for fun, free things that you can do for fun to really stretch your spending money as much as possible, and some ways to work on your contentment. So I won't go too much into that because we talked all about that last week. And if you didn't listen, jump over and listen. It was a really good episode. So we teach our kids contentment. We teach them compassion. You know, we teach them that love and family and being together, quality time, is more important than the material things. And that's not something that we can just say. That's something that we have to lead by example. Okay, it's like, for example, we want our kids to eat vegetables for dinner, but yet we eat ice cream for dinner. And they would be very confused by that example, right? So we have to lead by example. We have to show them. We have to show them the way. And we get to show them, you know, that we can still have treats. We can still go out to dinner every once in a while, but that we're going to really enjoy it, right? We're going to really, really appreciate it. And we're not going to be lusting over random things when we're at the store, for lack of a better word. We're not going to be saying, oh, I wish I could have that new car. Because what are we going to do? As soon as they get in the toy aisle at Walmart and they say, oh, I wish I could have that new toy, we're going to say, stop worrying about getting new toys all the time. Well, what did we just show them by example? We just showed them to act like that, right? We have to lead by example. Plus, we want to teach them to not waste things, especially food. And we want to show them to just be more appreciative of the things that they have, not in a scarcity way. Obviously, we don't want to teach them, like, don't waste your food because there's not enough to go around, because kids will worry about that kind of thing. But teaching them that hard work and money bought that food. So we don't need to waste it. We need to, you know, appreciate the things that we have. And also showing them to spend our money wisely, to use our spending money that we do have, because we're going to set aside spending money. We're going to set aside fun money like we talked about last week, but we're going to do that really wisely. And we're going to talk about the things that we need versus the things that we want. We're going to talk about things that are necessities versus things that are treats. That's not to say that we never get things that are treats, that we never get things that we just want, but we're going to do it more wisely. And so we show them that by example. We show that, we teach that with our words by saying, hey, I don't think we really need this. Or do you really need that? Are you really going to use it? Things like that. And then you use each circumstance on its own. And in some days you're like, hey, okay, that's okay. You can get a treat. And other days you're like, nope, we really don't need that. But you're showing them by example. You're talking it out with them. You're keeping that conversation up. And the beautiful thing about this journey and the way that it really ties into minimalism is that this will become a habit and this will become normal. And they'll start to expect less. And if your kids are one who get a treat every single time they go to the store, obviously this is going to be a hard habit to break. But like any other habit, you've got to be intentional. You've got to put in the work, put in the sweat equity into kind of retraining this habit. And eventually it will catch on. Eventually this will become a new habit. Eventually the language will become normal and it won't be something that you have to work so hard at. But that's how it ties into minimalism. It's going to become normal. They're not going to expect a treat every single time you go to the store. And you have to show them that by example. Another thing that we talked a lot about last week in last week's episode was kind of more of the learning to enjoy the little things and, you know, working on that contentment of your heart. And when we're doing this, we are actually showing our kids that life is actually going to be better this way. Okay, we are going to be spending more quality time together. We're not going to be, for example, sitting in a dark movie theater watching a really expensive movie, eating really expensive popcorn. We're going to be cuddled up on the couch. We're going to be able to talk during the movie. We're going to be able to laugh as loud as we want. We're going to be eating cheaper microwave popcorn and cuddling on the couch. And actually, that quality time is going to be so much more important than which movie you're watching or what kind of popcorn you're eating, right? Or where you're watching the movie at. The quality time is what is really important. The quality time over maybe a frozen pizza instead of a delivery pizza, or instead of going out to a restaurant to eat dinner. The conversation can be so much better at a dinner at home versus a dinner out, because they don't have to sit still and be quiet. They can talk as loud as they want. They can laugh as loud as they want. They can wear whatever clothes they want to be comfortable. You know, you guys, you're not rushed through your meal. The quality is going to be so much better. And maybe this is a hard adjustment for them. Maybe you guys have a routine. We went through a couple of years where my sisters, both of them worked at Pizza Hut, and they had a buffet every Tuesday, and it was our ritual for, gosh, maybe 2 years, maybe longer, to go to Pizza Hut every single Tuesday. That was a really hard habit to break. And even though June was little, she already looked forward to it, because we would go with my mom, we would go with some friends, we would go with other people from our family, whoever was able to go. And it was a routine. And that was a really hard habit to break. So either you budget that in and that's your one fun thing, or if you have like a routine of getting ice cream after church every Sunday or something, you budget that in and that's your one fun thing. Or maybe you let them pick the activity, or you let them pick the movie, or you let them pick the board game you play, or the dinner that you're going to cook at home. One of our really fun things to kind of break that habit was we started making a lot of homemade pizzas. We haven't done this in a really long time for some reason, but we started making homemade pizza and the kids loved it. They loved getting their hands in the dough. They loved being able to make a mess. And it became a really fun memory. So you can start a new tradition at home. You can start making homemade pizza instead of going out to Pizza Hut every Tuesday. Or you can let them pick the movie. Let them pick the board game. They're going to be so much more excited if it was their choice. Or you can let them pick which park you go to. You guys, make this fun. Set the tone for your family. You can do this. It's all about what attitude you lead off with. And so if you lead off with an attitude of, this is going to be fun, this is going to be an adventure, we're going to have movie night, and hey, it's your turn to pick the movie, and next week it's your sister's turn to pick the movie, and we're going to cuddle, we're going to get in our jammies, and this is going to be really, really fun. Or hey, let's take turns picking a park, and we're going to go to the park every week, and it's going to be awesome. You know, set the tone. Set the tone. Show them that what we are doing is going to be great. And that it is going to be so good for your family. Show them what we're doing. Show them that we're a team. We're in this together. And you guys, that is going to build the bond in your family like you cannot imagine. I remember so many times in my childhood, I went back and forth a lot from being homeschooled to being public school. We moved a few times. And I remember so many times my mom telling us over and over and over again, at the end of the day, you always have your sisters. At the end of the day, you have your family. And so no matter if we were homeschooled and all we played with was each other, or we moved somewhere new and we were scared, we didn't have any new friends or whatever it was, we had each other. And when you come through a journey like this, a time of triumph and overcoming an obstacle, when you let it help you grow, it's amazing. And it will do wonders for your marriage and wonders for your family life, wonders for your kids' childhood, for your bond and your connection. You're in this together. You're a team. And as a team, you can conquer anything. And not only is that a great bonding experience between you and your children, that's a great bonding experience with them and their siblings. Or them and their opposite parent, right? And between you and your spouse. So not only are you getting out of debt, not only are you living a more frugal life, you're living a more intentional life, because now we're having movie nights, we're having board game nights, we're going to the park, we're cooking dinner at home, we're working on a goal together. You're going to come out on the other side of this with so many more benefits than just being debt-free or just cash-flowing vehicles. You're going to be living that life that you've always dreamed of, and you've got to let your kids in on this dream. You've got to let them in on setting goals and achieving goals and overcoming hard things in life. Okay? So maybe that looks like getting a visual, like I talked about, the debt-free charts. Let your kids be a part of coloring in those lines and saving up. We let our kids be a part of when we were saving up to buy our truck and to buy our camper. And we got debt-free charts for them, and we colored them in, and the girls loved it. They loved being a part of it. They loved seeing that visual of it filling up and knowing when it gets to the top, we're getting the truck, we're getting the camper, whatever it is. When June's camera chart got to the top, she got her camera. Kids understand that visual. And there are tons of other visuals that you can find on Pinterest. I'll link to a Pinterest search in the show notes for you guys for debt-free visuals. But whether that be like moving a rock from one jar to the other to symbolize paying off debt or saving money, or whether it be cutting a paper chain like you do when you count down till Christmas. We used to do that a lot as a kid. Whatever that is, kids are going to relate so much more to the visual. So let them in on it. Let them in on the dream. Teach them to set goals and achieve them. Teach them to dream big. And then actually achieve those dreams. Work together. Teach them to overcome hard things. All right? Guys, I hope this episode was helpful. Again, I'm not a parenting expert, but I just wanted to share with you guys what has worked for me, what has worked for a lot of the ladies in my community. my best possible advice that I can give you guys. I would love to know your takeaways from this episode. I would love to know if there's something that you do with your kids that maybe I didn't mention. Let me know over on Instagram or in the Facebook community. Share in the comments for this post, because maybe there's something that I didn't list that works really great for your family, and you never know who can benefit from that, okay? So we're in this together, you guys. We are in this as a community. So let's keep the conversation up. Let's share with each other. Let's encourage each other. This parenthood thing is hard enough as it is. We really don't want to feel alone on this journey, okay? But you can do this. You're strong, and you were born to be your children's mother, okay? You were born with the capabilities to lead, and you've got this, all right? You guys, please share this episode, especially this episode, because motherhood is hard, and these lessons can be really hard, okay? So share on social media, share with a fellow mama who is going through the same journey right now. You never know whose life it can touch. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Leave me a review. That is what helps this podcast grow. That is what helps new ladies find this podcast and hear this message that I feel like is so, so important to get out into the world. Thank you so much for hanging out. You guys, I have a really great episode lined up for you guys next week. It is going to be an interview with an awesome mama from the debt-free community. So make sure that you hit subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And we have a really, really great lineup for April as well. Don't want to give away all the details yet, but just know that you're going to want to subscribe. You're going to want to not miss these episodes. All right, guys, I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.